All right. Let's finally bring the Finance Administration Oversight Committee back into session from the executive session. There will be no actions arising from the executive session. That item is postponed. No, that's on the other one. We have only one item.
Planning and development.
If we look down the agenda, can I have, is there any addition, correction, subtraction from the agenda? One item will be dropped. That is information item A, smart benefits, customer process. Would that change? Are there any additional changes to the agenda? Without objection, the agenda is approved.
Chairman?
Yes.
Given the item that was dropped, there will be questions. If the general manager can say something, either after
or after. Okay. Can you say that to the microphone so everybody else can hear?
The item that was just removed from the agenda nonetheless raises questions and has raised questions in the public, and I'm asking whether the general manager will be making some statement to give people an idea what's going on, either at this committee or subsequently.
At a subsequent time, I will make the statements to clarify exactly what will be happening with the regional travel, with the Smart Trip program, and I think that will be clarified later.
Thank you.
And as that moves forward, we may reschedule this for the next meeting.
Yeah.
That brings us to the minutes. You have a blue sheet for the minutes. There are some minor changes, but I don't think anything significant in the minutes. May I have a motion to approve the minutes, please? Anybody want to approve the minutes? You want to read the minutes?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Ms. Hudgens, second by Mr. Solomon. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Minutes are approved. Our first action item is Mr. Kent.
Excuse me. Can I request that we look to do the information items, or you consider doing the information items first, because I like to... I have a flight to catch, actually.
One that you feel you need to do out of that set?
The only one I would like to do, actually, would be the budget action plan, if you would consider that.
Okay. Is there any problem with moving item 8B forward and doing that now so that Ms. Kessel can leave? Go ahead, Ms. Kessel.
Okay. Thank you very much. As you know, in October, we had updated the board on our ridership decline. Because of two primary factors. One was the economy and the recession unemployment numbers that we've seen in the region, as well as some reduced capacity on the red line. In October, we projected that we'd have an overall revenue loss of $22.4 million because of that in rail, bus, and access fares. I would like to give this presentation is to provide an update as to what our budget action plans would be in order to mitigate that loss. In addition, we actually, and you'll see this in a later presentation when we discuss the first quarter numbers that have come in for this year, but we have actually seen expenditure pressures, cost pressures exceeding our budget in the amount of about $8 million. And you'll see that when we provide the year-to-date financial performance numbers. The two areas of concern primarily in the cost area is going to be overtime and supplies. We'll talk about how we'll look to mitigate that. If you can see on this first chart here, again, the revenue and ridership declines. As I mentioned, our expenditure pressures are primarily due to some of the overtime resulting from the red line, as well as some other overtime that we've been experiencing, and we're actually going to put in place some action plans to mitigate the overtime that we have been experiencing. Pension costs, our increased insurance costs because of the accident, and then the growth in Metro Access service. How we are going to mitigate the action plan, the costs are described in this next chart. As you know, we have programmed the stimulus money with capital projects that we had proposed to use the $200 million in stimulus ARA money that we received. As we have solicited for those projects and have received bids and awarded those projects, some of the projects have come in under what we had anticipated. And as a result, we have what we call surpluses that we would be able to use for preventative maintenance, which would offset some of the loss that we're experiencing this year. Currently, we anticipate the balance of those surplus funds or funds that were actually over-obligated are about $9 million. And that would be a recommended use to close the budget gap that we're currently seeing this year. In addition, we have an inaugural reimbursement that we are anticipating grant fund coming in this year. We applied for that reimbursement in July, and as a result, we did not book that revenue in 2009. And because we did not receive the grant application yet, we expect to receive the funds for the inaugural reimbursement this year, and the amount of about $3.4 million. And we anticipate using that funds to offset some of the revenue decline as well. In addition, as I mentioned earlier, we have insurance recoveries that we're looking at. We have forensic accountants in that are developing what our claim would be in order to recover costs as a result of the accident. We anticipate that amount to be $7 million and should offset the overtime and other expenses that we're currently experiencing, which is driving what our budget overruns are currently this year. In addition, we would be remiss if we did not look at internally some internal sustainability efforts in order to mitigate some of the cost overruns. And as a result, we're looking to do things like payroll process improvements, what I call paperless payroll, which we currently don't do now, looking to implement that process that would actually save cost in our system as well. We're looking at efficiencies in how we collect revenue in the revenue processing facility at Alexandria, and implements efficiencies that we will get some cost savings this year, as well as looking to optimize schedules and reduce costs. I know Mr. Francis can talk to you specifically about that if you have any questions, but we anticipate implementing those things that we can implement for the second half of this year. In the end, the last pot, if you will, that we would have to seek for relief if we actually experience more of the revenue loss would then be the subsidy savings that we received last year, which was in the amount of $5.6 million. Of course, we'd have to come back to the board to act to get approval for utilizing those funds to close the budget gap. And in the end, staff is moving forward on all of those initiatives to mitigate the overruns that we're currently experiencing.
Ms. Kissel, I like what it said on the page better than what you said. The last resort would be our operating reserves, which is what all of we and the board use as the mechanism to assure that our jurisdictions don't have to suddenly pay additional funds in any given year. On optimizing schedules to reduce costs, you offered up the Deputy General Manager. Are you telling us that our schedules are not already optimized?
And what I'm saying, Mr. Benjamin, is that what we discussed in this committee, as well as externally what we heard from our customers, is that we need to provide the most efficient and reliable service possible. So, giving an example, just like what we are encountering now in the rail system, we're operating in a manual operation, not an automatic operation. So we would take a look and see what our schedules are, our actual schedules versus our realistic schedules, what we can actually operate out there. Not to minimize the number of trains that we have out there, but take a look at the ridership, what the ridership is currently on all our lines, and look at our capacity and what we can put out there as far as train sets as well as bus. Look at our holiday schedules. We spoke about that a little bit, taking a look at our holiday schedules on both rail and bus, taking a look at maybe after Thanksgiving. We have the same capacity out there, but the ridership doesn't warrant the capacity out there. So I just think that we need to take a look at our service requirements on both bus and rail and see if we need to make some adjustments. It's not always the service reduction part of it, but we may have to make adjustments to the service.
And again, this is clear, we're not proposing to cut services, you know, fines, whatever, but to look at service levels on particular days, on the day after holidays or holidays.
Okay. Are there any other questions, comments? All right. Thank you, Ms. Kissel. We're going to then return to our action items. A is the reimbursable project for regional travel training. I guess we want to know what this is all about.
I have a quick presentation on that, and given time of day, we're ready to go.
Good morning, afternoon. We're kind of on the cusp. My name is Ricky Epstein. I'm with the Department of Access Services, and I appreciate the opportunity to briefly share some information with you about an exciting project that we have coming up here at Metro. Over the summer, Metro was awarded a $1.2 million grant after a competitive review process conducted by COG, where one of the identified priorities had been to develop a regional travel training initiative. Our project is for 2 years, and one of the things that we think is particularly of importance to note about this particular project, while a lot of transit agencies around the country have developed travel training programs to teach people with disabilities how to successfully and safely travel independently on fixed route public transportation, our project is, we think, a unique one in that we've developed a really exciting public-private partnership that includes Centers for Independent Living, Inclusion Research Institute, our evaluation partner, as well as a host of many, many different local nonprofit disability organizations throughout the region. Our key partners for the project are the Maryland, D.C., and Virginia Centers for Independent Living, who are charged with assisting people with disabilities expand their independence into the community. And one of the key focuses of this particular project, because we've been awarded funding through both New Freedom as well as Job Access Reverse Commute or JARC funding, we'll be focusing attention on teaching people with disabilities to travel throughout the region to employment and job-related activities, and that's going to be a significant component of this project, which I think also makes it rather unique. We have a strong evaluation component. As I mentioned, one of our partners is a nonprofit organization based here in D.C. called Inclusion Research Institute. And what we really want to do is develop some benchmark and state-of-the-art outcomes and benefits information that really shows the outcome and the value of travel training in teaching people with disabilities how to enhance their mobility and independence throughout the region. Okay, in terms of benefits, I've already mentioned you know, what we're all about here at Metro is wanting to enhance options and opportunities for people with disabilities to travel independently. And we really think that we're going to take Metro's slogan in terms of opening doors for people with disabilities to a new level in terms of really heightening options and making sure that people with disabilities are keenly aware of their ability to travel on the fixed route system and that paratransit is not necessarily the only option that's available to them. One of the things that we're excited about this project is that it expands and leverages and builds upon all our already very successful Metro's Accessible Outreach Program and the travel training that we already currently provide, but we'll really build upon it because what the three Centers for Independent Living will be doing, each of them will be able to hire two additional staff members on a full-time basis that our staff will train so that they can build upon what we've already been doing in terms of expanding travel training throughout the region exponentially, and we're quite excited about that. Through this project, we plan to train up to 600 additional people beyond the the numbers that we already provide. And as I mentioned, we'll be establishing, we hope, through our evaluation components and best practices and models for replication by transit agencies and disability organizations throughout the region. Just to kind of move things along here, because I know the agenda is tight, why I'm here is because we found that after the budget had already been approved, we were awarded the funding. And so essentially, we're looking to just amend the budget in the amount of the funding for this particular project and authorize the opportunity for us to initiate the contracts with our four key partners, the three Centers for Independent Living and Inclusion Research Institute. Thank you.
Ms. Epstein, this is your first time before the board, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
You did very well. Thank you. That was very good. Are there any questions?
Mr. Chairman?
Ms. Epstein? Comments?
Yes.
This is a wonderful opportunity that we're going to be doing here and providing to our riders they're part of the disabled community. In terms of the training, will this extend to all other transit services throughout the region, such as my DASH system in Alexandria? So we'll be participatory in that.
Yes, absolutely. And our staff currently, through our travel training and through this project, not only teaches people with disabilities and senior citizens how to travel on Metrobus and Metrorail, but we provide travel training and will through this project to all of the bus and rail services throughout the region.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Ms. Hudgens.
Mr. Chairman, I don't have any questions. I just wanted to comment how valuable this should be. This is a discussion that's been going on at this board, I think, for a long time in terms of talking about how to expand transit fixed rails and bus services. And I think this is an opportunity to do so and build upon not only on the WMATAs, but the regional services that exist today. So with that, if this is an action item, I'd like to move approval.
Okay. Could you at least put up the recommendations so we know what it is we're approving? There is a resolution.
We're awarding.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, that's unanimous. We're moving to our next item. Thank you, Ms. Epstein, which is the proposed restructuring of Metrobus Routes 28 and B, the Leesburg Pipeline. We've seen this before. Is there a motion to approve?
Mr. Chairman, I move approval of it.
Second.
Mr. McKay, seconded. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? None. The next item is a restructuring of Metrobus Route Q2, Veers Mill. This also has been before us before. I move approval. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Mr. Linton, seconds. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No. Excellent presentation, Mr. Hamry.
Thank you all very much. Gets better.
And that's the best kind of presentation is when you get away with that. Huntington Parking Garage budget adjustments. Is there a motion to approve that one?
Move approval.
Second.
Mr. McKay and Ms. Hudgens, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? No. Nobody opposed. That one passes unanimously. Johnny did really well on that one, too. You didn't even get up there in time. Information item, we have done the first two of the information items. Matt, do you have anything on Matt Brown? Yeah, you've been here before, so you've been introduced.
Yes.
On the budget calendar, what would you like to tell us?
Sure. The presentation is an overview of where we are in the budget process. Should go to the next slide. As we've discussed before, we'll be presenting the preliminary budget to the board in next month in December, and then in January we'll come with the formal proposed budget. And you will be receiving budget books then. This is the guidance that we've received from the board. We're using the guidance from the board as well as two internal working groups, one for the capital budget and one for the operating budget, to formulate. It's actually a really exciting opportunity this year. That we have two internal groups that will be working very closely with the budget office to prepare what I hope to be. It will be my first budget at Metro, and I hope it's one of the best. We certainly have challenges, but I think we can overcome them. As you know, we've had three of the four budget forums. The next one will be November 18th. I want to thank members of the board who have attended those hearings. I think that we've heard from the public that, they have really appreciated the opportunity to provide input. I think the discussion has been very good, so I just wanted to thank you all for your participation in those forums. Again, in December, per your direction, we'll be providing the preliminary budget, and both the operating and the capital. The full budget will be presented in January, and we'll continue to inform the board of our progress on the operating and capital budgets.
Just a quick comment, the second bullet that you have there, that you're going to propose operating and capital plans of contracts. That's quite a challenge that somewhere between 6 months and 18 months before you intend to do them, you want to put in front of us every contract you're going to try and do. We welcome your attempt and certainly are appreciative that you will get it to us well before we have to act on them.
We heard some comments from the board, from members of the JCC during the last process. We're trying to improve it, trying to get the list to the board early in the process so that we can discuss all the policy issues related to implementation of the budgets that you will be approving.
One of the things you may want to consider is not having every dollar that you are asking for in the plan so that you have some maneuvering room. Okay. Are there any other comments or questions on the proposed budget schedule? Ms. Hutchins.
Thank you for the presentation. I noticed that there in your listing of calendar dates and time frames, you have not inserted any public engagement in that process. You will be doing that?
Absolutely, especially if there are fare increases, fare changes, or service changes. Absolutely.
Well, I would hope that you would want to have the public aware of what we will present as a budget and have at least comments from them, whatever it is.
Absolutely.
If it's a good budget, that's even better.
I think the comment by Ms. Hutchins is something broader than required public hearings. Having public involvement on a broader basis. And I think there's general feeling that that might be an appropriate thing to do. Any other comments or questions? Can you tell us a little bit about the financials, Ms. Brown?
Sure, and I'll keep this brief. Ms. Kissel earlier indicated that our expenditure pressures, we've talked about the revenue pressures. Perhaps it would be helpful if we could just go to slide page 118, which is the summary of the financial report. As we indicated earlier, expenditures are about $8.4 million over. A lot of that relates to the overtime and the materials and supplies that we discussed earlier. In the budget action plan, we're looking for ways to mitigate those the expenditure losses and as well as the revenue losses to date. So if you have any specific questions about the information with financials, the standard reports that you've received.
Well, first of all, we are continuing to see lower than expected or budgeted ridership in both bus and rail.
That's correct. To date, monthly rail ridership is about 2.4% below FY09 and 5.6 below the FY10 budget. Bus ridership is also down. However, not all of the news is bad. Average Saturday ridership actually increased September over September by 13%. Saturday bus ridership was also up over last year. And the other thing we've seen is that our AMP, we've seen about a 5% decline in our AM peak, and we think that that is reflective of the unemployment, the pressures of the pressures in the economy. But the PM decline has not been as severe. The PM decline has only been about 3%. And so it seems that people are still, the discretionary riders are still taking our system. It's the effects of the unemployment that are hurting us as reflected in the AM ridership.
Thank you. And let me say that again because I think that was very important. What you're saying is where we're seeing the ridership decline is in probably work trips. So it's people who are going to and from work where we're seeing the decline.
I think so.
And in other categories, we're not seeing that decline, which says that what's going on now reflects pretty much unemployment and not other issues.
I think so. I think that's... Yeah.
There's no way to know for sure, obviously.
Absolutely. But
that's a very good observation. And Ms. Hutchins had a
Well, that isn't. That may be an observation, but I think in unemployment times, people's work times change. And I think what we have called discretionary time may actually be critical work time for people. you don't have a full-time job, but you have a part-time job, or whatever. So I think those are very critical service hours for a lot of people.
That's a good point, which says we have to keep the service going for the people whose jobs have changed. But what we're seeing in terms of a decline seems to be tracking the unemployment in the area. The other thing is that we are still continuing to see into September what looks like overtime charges and supply charges, which are hard to attribute at this point to the accident. And we talked earlier about the possibility that we're not properly tracking capital versus operating charges for those things. Is that something you're getting into?
Absolutely. We have seen some charges specifically from the maintenance facilities, and that's reflected both in overtime and materials and supplies. We're examining those charges, ensuring that the work that's being done prolongs the life of the asset, and we will be making changes to the financials as appropriate, booking the expenditures in the appropriate category if we determine that they should fall in the capital budget.
That is very important, so please do that. Are there any other questions? Yes, Mr. Graham.
Right. We were seeing a very dramatic increase compared to year over year. In all 3 months, in July, August, September, in terms of elderly disabled
drivers. Right, on the fixed system.
77% increase, 68% and on living with drivers. 68% increase, 67% increase. What
can
you give
us an idea of what that is? It is. At this time, it's something, all I can say is that we're looking into it. We've noticed the increases throughout the fixed rail, the fixed system, both on bus and rail. And it's something that we've noticed, and we're looking into it to make sure that the...
And what about in the same chart? Bus transfers, we see an equally dramatic decrease. Is this a sign of what we anticipate in the future of the incentive to address what's going on? You see it?
I do.
But it's down 37% in July, 38% in August, and 37% in September.
And I need to look at that. That might just be taking out transfer numbers that we had last year. We don't count this year. That's the difference. But let's get more detail on that one.
We'll follow up on that.
The question there is it a question of record keeping, or is it a question of the abuse has gone down and we're now actually seeing that? Okay. Mr. Linton. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. Thought you were complete.
No. What about the hospital?
We are on schedule with that. In fact, there was.
Right now, we have out of 203 buses, we have 154 on the property, and I believe it's 125 we have in service. We're looking to complete that by December. Have the rest of them in by December.
Thank you,
Mr. Linton.
I'm looking at the same chart that this ran in reference to page 109. I noticed that we have cash and smart trip.
I don't know the answer to that, but I'll follow up.
We can.
You also know in the paragraph below, it says that shown above, more patients are paying the fare with cash than we have in parentheses, smart trip. I'm not quite sure what that means. Are we including cash and smart trip?
I will. Apologize. I don't know the answer to that. I'll get clarification.
Yeah, it does appear that we're considering the two to be the same. So here comes Vicki. Ms. Ellis will give us an answer. Do you have an answer?
I don't. If you'll allow, we'll provide.
But it might be useful in accordance with Mr. Litton's request that we not treat those as being the same, but kind of split those out. Are there any other questions on this item? If not, that includes the agenda, it concludes the agenda as approved. Several board members have indicated an interest in getting a briefing on the power distribution unit outage. That is not, strictly speaking, an item for this agenda. So I'm going to leave that to the chair of the board to determine whether he feels that should or should not be included at this time.
Okay.